Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 17. We are starting here, but we're also going to look at several other scripture passages today in the outline that I have, so I hope you'll be prepared to do that. And we start here with 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, which says just three words: pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this encouragement that comes from your word today. I want to speak with your help, Lord. I want to speak to the folks that are gathered here today on the topic, the habit of prayer. May we all develop that habit in our life, and may we learn to pray about everything that comes to our life, things that we have to deal with, several of the things that we'll mention today in the outline, things that were mentioned in the song we just sang. Help us to make these things a matter of prayer, knowing that your ear is always open and listening for the heart cries of your children. Bless us now as we continue. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can see here in our text those three words, pray without ceasing. And I hope you understand that that doesn't mean you always have to be in a kneeling position. Imagine how hard it would be to obey this voice and drive your car. That would be pretty difficult if you had to be in a kneeling position. But rather, what the Lord is saying here, not that you have to kneel, but that you should always be in an attitude of prayer. Someone said one time about John R. Rice. You probably remember that name. Some of you probably do. Someone said about him one time that if you were to speak to him, you had to interrupt him because he was always talking to the Lord. Well, that's a good testimony. I can't honestly say that I have that testimony, but I would like to say that in my lifetime, in the years that I've been a Christian, it's become more and more prevalent for me to talk to the Lord throughout the day about anything and everything. It's very important, I think, for us to do that as believers, and I think our life will go better if we ever develop that habit in our life, to talk to him about anything and everything. God is interested in your life. Did you know that? Amen. He's concerned for you and for me and what's going on. And he would like for us to ask his advice or his help with anything and everything that's going on in our life. And so today, I'm going to give you just five thoughts. There are many, many others that could be given, but I don't want to keep you that long, okay? So we'll talk about just five things today that I find in the scriptures that God tells us that we should pray about. All right? And all these things will fit into this idea of the habit of prayer. So we've already seen the encouragement here, pray without ceasing. I would like to call your attention to 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 8. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Here's an item, and I start with this on purpose because I think it's an item that we all have to deal with, and that is we should pray when we need forgiveness. We should pray when we need forgiveness. If you notice this text here, 1 John 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, what does it say next? We deceive ourselves. Yeah. Amazing, the people that think that they're 100% right with God. I'm totally at peace with the way I'm living. Okay. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, oh, so John, you're trying to tell me that I do have sins in my life. Yes, that's exactly what John's trying to tell us here. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, that's God, a liar. and his word is not in us. You know, these three verses that I just read, 1 John 1, verse 8, 9, and 10, are very, very clear, I think, that all of us need forgiveness. All of us need forgiveness. And by the way, we all need forgiveness on a regular basis. Because even though, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're born again, you're a child of God, even though you are that, sin still crops up constantly, all the time. It's a universal problem that people have. Of course, we need forgiveness for that original sin problem that we were born with. By the way, in case you don't know this, we're born sinners. We're born, the Bible says, alienated from God. We need forgiveness for that original sin problem that we were born with. But even after we're saved, by the way, you get forgiveness for that original sin problem by way of salvation, coming to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Salvation takes care of that original problem, but we also need forgiveness for sins we commit after we've been saved. There isn't a one of us that never sins. Not a one of us. In fact, as if we think we're in that group that never sins, the Bible says here in our text that we just read, we're deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. You will not reach sinless perfection until you get to heaven. As long as you walk this earth, sin is going to be a problem. And so this is a very good time and a very good place and a very good item to mention here about the habit of prayer, and that is praying for forgiveness. Praying for forgiveness. The good news when I talk about this subject is forgiveness is always available. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's do a little survey here real quick. Please be honest. Please notice that my hand will be up if that persuades you one way or the other. Here's the question, a little survey. How many of you have sinned and asked God's forgiveness for it? Oh, look at that, all over the audience. Now, you can put your hands down. Here's another question that goes with that survey. How many of you have sinned and asked God's forgiveness for it, and it's something you've done before and asked forgiveness for before? Oh, yes. I'm looking at a bunch of sinners. Please notice the smile. You're also looking at a sinner. You see, this is a universal problem. For people who are honest, the hand has to go up because I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. And this is, number one of the things that we should always develop as a habit of prayer is to seek God's forgiveness. We should pray when we need forgiveness. There's a second thing I wanted to mention to you this morning, and we're going to go to the book of James. If you can find the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. And the Bible says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Not only should we pray and ask forgiveness, but secondly, we should pray when we need wisdom. We should pray when we need wisdom. That's what this verse is telling us here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. This verse reminds us that when we are in a quandary, we don't know for sure what to do. We don't know which way we should turn, maybe right or left. We don't know, should we get involved in this activity or not? We don't know, should I buy this item or not? Is this the one that God has chosen for me, for my mate, for life? Is this the house that God wants me to purchase? Is this the job that God wants me to have? Is this, what? How do I know what to do? If any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5 says, let him ask of God. Please notice it didn't say let him ask of the preacher. Not that it would be wrong to ask him to pray for you about that or to talk it over with him, but who you really need to ask is the Lord. Because he's the one that knows the right from the wrong. He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. He's the one that knows if it'll work out for you or not. He's the one that knows if it's part of his plan for your life or not. He's the one that you should go to and ask. Did you notice this Bible verse says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Please notice that it doesn't say he giveth to the men who give a lot in the offering. Or he giveth to all the men who are friends with the pastor. Or all the men who are faithful to all the services. Or all the men who are, and you could put whatever you want to put on the end of that. The Bible says he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. When I think about that, I think about if I could let this hymnal that I have in my hand represent wisdom that I need from God. And if you can imagine someone else standing here hanging on to this side of the hymnal and we're tugging back and forth, it's not the idea that God keeps wisdom from us or you have to tug with him over it, because the Bible says he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know, I get the idea here from this verse that if I ask the Lord for wisdom, he'll give it to me. Because that's what he said he would do. He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So when we need wisdom for those big important decisions in life, we should go to the Lord and ask him. When we need wisdom for the smaller, more insignificant decisions in life, we should go to the Lord and ask him. When we need wisdom for personal decisions, we should ask the Lord. When we need wisdom for family decisions, we should ask the Lord. When we need wisdom for business decisions, we should ask the Lord. When we need wisdom for church decisions, we should ask the Lord. This may sound strange to you, but I hope you'll hear it. When we need wisdom for recreational decisions, we should ask the Lord. Pastor, even in the recreational type stuff? Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, vacations or a weekend away or, you know, something you want to do to just relax and get away for a little while. Why not ask the Lord? Why not check in with him first? And make sure it's okay and make sure that, you know, he knows about it and he'll give you direction on that and so forth. I say all these things because his wisdom concerning many, many topics of our life is offered to us freely. Why not ask him for it? Why not ask him for it? Number one, we should pray when we need forgiveness. And I think all of us need forgiveness. Number two, we should also pray when we need wisdom. And I think all of us need wisdom. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're backing up just a little bit to our left in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4. And notice, if you would, verse 14, 15, and 16. And the Bible says here in Hebrews 4, verse 14, 15, and 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because our high priest who's in heaven was tempted just like we are, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I think we should pray when we need forgiveness. I think we should pray when we need wisdom. I also think we should pray when we need strength. Strength. You notice here in the text, we're encouraged to come boldly. That means with confidence. That means with assurance. Knowing that you will be heard. Knowing that he will give you what you're seeking. You know, there's a verse also in Hebrews that says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you can't come to the Lord in prayer and say, "Dear God in heaven, if there is a God in heaven," and then give your request. No, you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're to come boldly, with assurance, with confidence. Come to the throne of grace whenever we find ourselves in need of strength or mercy or grace to help us in a time of weakness. The Bible reminds us, by the way, that Jesus lived on earth as a human being. And that means he knows what it's like to live on the earth as a human being. You think our Lord ever got tired? I'm guessing that he did. Do you think he ever felt lonely? I'm guessing that he did. Do you think, I'm speaking now humanly, on the human side of our Savior, because I realize he was the God-man, I understand that, but on the human side of our Savior, do you think he ever felt confused? I'm talking about on the human side now. Listen to this. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The part that I'm thinking of is that part, you know, I don't really want to have to go through this, yet I know it's God's plan for my life, the Father's plan. If there's any other way around this, could you please make that possible? But I want you to know, Father, I'll do what you're asking me to do. That's what I mean by the confusion part of it. I'm just trying to say that there's things about our human life that our Savior is very well acquainted with. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be lonely. He knows what it's like to face some confusion. He knows what it's like, I think, to feel rejection. What do you think went through his head when all the disciples fled? Again, think about the human side of him. I realize he's also divine. I understand that. But on the human side of things, what do you think it felt like to him when the multitudes, you know, at times thousands were following. And then he began to teach, like John chapter 6, he began to teach some hard things. Hard to receive, hard to understand things. And the multitudes just walked away. And Jesus speaks then to the 12 and says, "Will you also go away?" Humanly speaking, he was being rejected. And he felt that. He knew that. He knows what it's like. Again, I'm just trying to say, he understands what it's like to be a human being. And so what does that do for me, Pastor? Well, it means you can come to the throne of grace in assurance and confidence, hence the word boldly, and know that he understands. He understands what you're going through. The difference, of course, between him and us is he didn't sin. And the Bible says that. So often when we get in a time of weakness or, our back's against the wall, so to speak, we take the easy way out and we do the wrong thing. And that's called sin. But our Savior didn't sin. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. So he knows even what being tempted is like. When we find ourselves in the place of weakness, when we find ourselves in need of strength, the Bible says we can come to him boldly and we will find the mercy and grace and strength that we need in our time of weakness. Forgiveness is available, you must ask. Wisdom is available, you must ask. Strength is available, but you must ask. You must ask. All we have to do is ask him, and he will hear and he will deliver that which we need. I realize we're spending a lot of time here back and forth with James and Hebrews, but go back to the book of James again, would you please? James chapter 4, and I'm going the wrong direction. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. You ever do that? You're looking in the Bible for something and you're actually going in the wrong direction, and you're thinking, I know it's here. I just read it not long ago. In fact, for me, I read it when I was preparing these notes, you know. But if you go in the wrong direction, you'll never find it. So James chapter 4 and verse number 7 and verse number 8. James 4, verse 7 and verse 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Just those two verses. We should, in developing the habit of prayer, we should pray when we need forgiveness. We should pray when we need wisdom. We should pray when we need strength. Number four, we should pray when we are tempted by the evil one. We should pray when we are tempted by the evil one. Again, another survey. By the way, thank you for helping me in my surveys today. How many of you would be willing to admit that you get tempted by the devil sometimes? Oh, look at that. There's hands all over. All of us get tempted by the devil. That's just the bottom line. By the way, pastors are not exempt. Deacons are not exempt. Sunday school teachers are not exempt. Listen to this. People that have been saved over 50 years are not exempt. I can vouch for that. No, we're all tempted by the evil one. He's good at that. Have you noticed that? He knows our weaknesses. I have an idea that he studies us. I have an idea that he studies us to know where the weaknesses are. And just at the right time, he comes knocking at the door. It's interesting to me, in the book of Revelation chapter 3, there's a word picture about Jesus standing at a door and knocking, and he's asking to be invited in. That's a door you should open. Right? When the Lord is knocking and he wants to come in, that's a door you should open. But there's other times when the devil knocks at the door and you ought not to open, because it's called temptation. There's three great enemies that we all have. They're called the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil uses the world and the flesh to tempt us to do the wrong things. And as I was saying here just a moment ago, I think he studies us to know what our weaknesses are. I have an idea, and I hope you understand this. I think you do. But I hope you understand what your weaknesses are might not be the same as what my weaknesses are, and vice versa. I mean, there may be a temptation that comes to me that should the devil bring it to you, it's nothing. You ward that off with no problem. But then there might be a temptation for you that the devil brings to me that wouldn't faze me at all. We're all individuals, you know that, right? And we all have different areas of strength and weakness. And I think the devil studies us to know what those are, so that at just the right time, he can come knocking at your door with the temptation. Well, when you're being tempted by the evil one, a very good thing to do is to develop that habit of prayer and pray and ask the Lord to help you. Notice this scripture says again in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. One of the best ways to resist the devil is don't open that door when he comes knocking. Don't open that door. Instead, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. And notice the promise, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Don't you love that? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We should learn to pray when we need forgiveness, when we need wisdom, when we need strength, when we're being tempted by the evil one. Prayer in the time of temptation could give you the strength to resist the devil and his temptation and give you the victory instead. Do you remember Jesus talking to Peter? He calls him in this passage, Simon. Simon, Simon. It's one of those two times where a name is mentioned. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. That ought to be a clue to all of us. The devil is all about tempting us to do the wrong thing, and he wants to keep us off guard and not prepared and not firmly with our feet on the scriptures and what the Bible says and so forth. He wants to sift us like wheat. Victory is possible over his temptation, but you have to ask. You have to ask. There's one more I want to show you, and we're going to look together at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Again, I only have five this morning. There's many others that you can probably think of and that we could put in this outline, but I don't want to keep you too long. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and verse 7. Notice it says, be careful for nothing. By the way, the word careful here is translated from a word that means to not be overly concerned or anxious about something, okay? So don't be anxious or overly concerned. Or it says here, be careful for nothing. But in everything, notice that, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So in the message today, we talked about developing the habit of prayer. And I mentioned we need to pray when we need forgiveness. We need to pray when we need wisdom. We need to pray when we need strength. We need to pray when we're tempted by the evil one. Here's my last thought today. We should also pray when our hearts are filled with gratitude. When our hearts are filled with gratitude. Just a few short days ago, we had in the state of Wisconsin the very first tornado ever in the month of February. Now, I can't speak for you, but for me, and I know I've told you this before, I'm curious when there's tornado warnings and storms. And I did this several times that night when the sirens were going off and the phone warning went off and all that. As I got out on the front porch and I looked, I'm curious. And I'm looking to see if I can see a funnel cloud or, you know, trees flying across the road or cars flying across the road or something like that. I didn't, but I could almost see my daughter Rebecca outside. Because she's also curious like that. Were you out there? On and off, see? See? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? But I'm curious, and so I was out there several times looking and watching and never did see any of that I described. And, of course, in the city of Stoughton here, we didn't have funnel clouds that touched down and so forth. But I know they did in Evansville and near Edgerton and some other places as well. And I've seen some of the pictures, and I know you have too. There was a tremendous amount of damage that took place in several different areas south and east of us. In the morning after, I texted back and forth with Brother Tony back there, and he told me that one of those funnel clouds sat down right behind the place where he works. And he spent a lot of the night awake, you know, trying to deal with what was happening and so forth. And I also got to text with Victor, thank you, and some other folks anyway we checked on that I knew that lived, you know, more in that area. Just wanted to make sure they were okay. Glad to know that they were all okay, best as I could find out. And here's the reason I bring that up. When you make it through something like that and everything's okay, isn't that reason to give God thanks? It certainly is. And you know this because we thank the Lord that, you know, Victor and Tony and others were okay. And we thank the Lord that we were okay. And that our city was okay. Thanksgiving and gratitude is something that really should characterize our life as a Christian. And I know we say this often, and sometimes it becomes just a trite little statement, but hasn't God been good to us? He truly has. He's been very good to all of us. And I realize, even in the room this morning, there are people who are going through various levels of, you know, discomfort or maybe a sickness or disease or, you know, financial reversal or whatever. It's true in any audience like this one. There's different levels of all that. But in spite of all those circumstances, would you agree with me, God's still been good to us? He certainly has to all of us. That's why I say again, thanksgiving and gratitude should be something that characterizes our life. How can you not be thankful and grateful when you look around and see all the things that God has done for you? How can you not express thanksgiving and gratitude to the Lord when you look at all those things He's done? And then the times that He's prevented bad things from happening. I mean, there's so much that we have to be thankful for. And that's why I say again, thanksgiving and gratitude should be something that characterizes our life. And friend, it needs to be expressed. It needs to be expressed. And a good way to do that is in prayer. I don't know if you do this in your prayer life, but I try to do this in mine. I try to start my prayer and end my prayer with thanksgiving. Most every day, my wife and I read the Bible together, and we pray together, and we try to start it and end it with thanksgiving. Why? Because God's been so good to us. He's blessed us and taken care of us in so many, many ways. Thanksgiving and gratitude should characterize our life. You know what? It'll make a difference in your walk with God. I think it even makes a difference in your outlook on life. I really do. So we should pray. In this message, we talked about trying to develop the habit of prayer. I just have five very simple things that I've mentioned. Prayer is something that should be natural for us as believers. Prayer is simply us communicating with our Heavenly Father. By the way, I didn't say this earlier, but did you know when you pray and talk to God, you don't have to use big 50-cent words? He's not impressed by, you know, I feel like, boy, I can't pray because all my words are so simple. God knows that. You remember Peter walking on the water? Did you read his prayer carefully? Lord, help! Nothing loud about that? Well, it was loud, wasn't it? But nothing college bound about that, right? No 50-cent words, no, you know, big theological discussion with God, just Lord, help! And of course, we know what happened. Jesus immediately, it says, immediately reached forth his hand and pulled him up on top of the water. Being grateful and being thankful and prayer and talking with God and developing this habit of prayer. Again, simply communicating with your Heavenly Father. We all should pray. We all should pray when we need forgiveness. We all should pray when we need wisdom. We all should pray when we're in need of strength. We all should pray when we're tempted by the evil one. We all should pray when our hearts are filled with gratitude. Friend, these are just a few times that we should pray. No wonder the Bible says pray without ceasing. Because there's a lot to pray about. The important thing to get from this message, if you would get this one thing, I will have accomplished what I think the Lord wanted me to accomplish. Work on developing that habit of prayer. Talk to Him all the time. May God help us to do that. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Everyone standing, if you're able. And then heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for making prayer possible. There's so many verses in the Bible that speak about prayer. It reminds us that you are a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. It reminds us that you're anxious to hear from us. The Bible reminds us that we should talk to you about anything and everything. And today in this message, just five very simple things that I laid out that you tell us in your word to talk with you about in prayer. So may we develop that habit of prayer. Doesn't mean we have to be on our knees. We can do this walking or standing or sitting or kneeling or maybe flat out on the floor. It doesn't matter. Talking with God about anything and everything. Help us to do that, Lord. Speak to hearts now and do your work during this invitation. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.